Couple things I know that I guess I'll pass along to you, and they are that Evelyn Paglini, you know, tonight's guest, she's the real thing. She's a real witch. She comes from a very long line of witches and practitioners of the craft, and Ramona was very, very close to her and also was a practitioner of the craft. And so I can tell you, I just know, I know, she's the real thing. Got a real husky voice. Actually, she sounds kind of witch-like in a lot of ways now that I think about it. But beyond the obvious, she really is the real thing. She really is the real thing. Did I say that? The feared resumption of mass sectarian violence erupted once again Sunday in a Baghdad Shiite slum where bombers blew apart two markets. That's two of them shortly before sundown. 44, looks like 44 dead, wounded about 200. The bloody assault on Sadr City came only moments after Iraqi political leaders said the new parliament will convene Thursday. That'll be 3 days earlier than planned as the U.S. ambassador pushed to break a stalemate over naming a unity government. So, you know, looking at Iraq, it really does look like they're facing the possibility of a civil war. And as I said yesterday, should that occur, I believe that U.S. policy will be to kind of lay back and just let it happen. There's not a whole hell of a lot you can do when a country decides they're going to begin killing each other, as in Kosovo and elsewhere, and they're going to keep doing it until they virtually tire of the slaughter. So I would think U.S. troops pretty much would just back away and thankfully not be part of it, but it sure does look like it's coming. In New Orleans, Louisiana, Billy Graham has returned with a Big Easy sermon. He had to use a walker to get to the podium, but he was greeted with a standing ovation. What a man. Billy Graham, preaching in New Orleans. The deadly H5N1 strain of bird flu, detected for the first time in poultry in Myanmar and Cameroon. Officials in the two nations said in the latest sign of that disease's expanding range in Africa and Southeast Asia, experts over the weekend confirmed cases in hundreds, get this, hundreds of dead chickens at a farm outside the second largest city there, Mandalay. My God. The strain of bird flu, although not infectious yet, short of blood contact to human beings, is clearly, clearly spreading around the world. Should it become infectious, something the scientists seem almost sure of, we're in very, very, very serious trouble. And it is indeed spreading. We would expect it fairly shortly here in the U.S. as birds migrate from Asia. That yearly migration will occur and probably arrive in Alaska and then move south. So we're going to get it here, too. The big question, of course, the giant question, is whether H5N1 will become transmissible to humans. And again, the scientists certainly seem to think so. Very severe storms ripped across the Midwest, packed winds that knocked over airplanes. No doubt a lot of antennas came down, ripped off roofs, spawned tornadoes, killed three people. A twister which roared up to, oh my God, a half mile wide, killed a woman seeking shelter in her mobile home. Mobile home? Shelter in a mobile home from a half mile wide tornado. Mm-mm. Displaced about 150 residents in western Missouri on Sunday night, said officials. So that's kind of a look at the world news. In a moment, we'll look at what else is going on out there. Something to keep an eye on. The Andaman Islands are having a quake swarm. We'll have to watch that closely. Vesuvius, you know that volcano that obliterated Pompeii back in AD 79? Apparently has the capacity, according to scientists, that would make that event look like a sideshow. nearly 4,000 years ago, it erupted far more violently, destroying the area of present-day Naples, sending a Bronze Age population fleeing for their lives. Michael Sheridan of the University of Buffalo and a group of Italian colleagues investigated the remains of the eruption called the Catastrophe after a village that bore the brunt of it. Avellino, I believe it is. They studied the well-preserved remains of Nola, another village about 10 miles northeast of Vesuvius, where volcanic deposits overwhelmed the settlement 3,780 years ago. They also found evidence that thousands of people fled as the eruption began, leaving footprints solidified in cooling ash. Can you imagine that? Seeing those footprints, now no doubt in stone, as people were running. Most apparently did escape. Close to Nola, the scientists found skeletons of a man and a woman under a meter-deep bed of volcanic debris, the ground littered with fragments of rock up to 4 inches in diameter that showed a shower down, rather, at about 150 miles an hour. In other words, rocks falling at terminal velocity or near it in a lethal hailstorm. Can you imagine that? And so they're saying that what could happen would make what did happen just look like nothing at all. Something to think about. We tend to forget what Mother Nature can do if she wants to. It ain't what you got. It's the way that you use it, scientists have just discovered. Humans and other primates may be genetically quite similar, but differences in the activity of individual genes lead to clear differences between the species. Interesting, huh? In other words, we're always told we're that close to an ape, right? Now, that was a theory. But until now, little has been known about how gene activity differs in different primates. To find out, Yoav Gilad, a human geneticist at the University of Chicago, and his colleagues measured gene activity in equivalent genes from humans, chimps, orangutans, and rhesus monkeys. They found that between any pair of species, gene activity apparently differed in 12 to 19% of the 907 genes for which they obtained good data. In particular, genes coding for transcription factors, that'd be what actually regulates the activity of other genes, tend to be very much higher and more active in human beings. They speculate this may be why humans are so different. The analysis also revealed many genes whose activity level has stayed constant over the 70 million years since the four species had a common ancestor. Presumably, these are genes in which a disruption would do most harm. Such genes may be good places, they're saying, to look for disease-causing mutations. The agricultural department, I'd like to repeat this evening, is looking into a case of possible mad cow disease, another one you want to keep your eye very closely glued on. A routine test indicates the possible presence of mad cow disease, according to John Clifford. USDA agency wouldn't say where the animal was from. The cow did not enter the human or animal food chain. We'll see. All right, we're going to do a lot of open lines in this first hour, and I'm going to begin right now. First time caller line, you are on the air. Welcome.
Oh, hi. This is Michael from Maryland.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, I'm also a ham operator. I talked to you, back in May. Just want to let you know, you were the one who got me sort of revitalized into the hobby.
You talked to me on ham radio?
Yeah, back in May.
In May, no kidding. You know, I kind of remember.
Yeah, there was a Dutch station on. We were CQing. You came in there. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm 17, by the way, and when I was 8, I just read about ham radio somewhere. I didn't remember about it until you mentioned on your show. I got my technician license. Now I'm an extra, and
congratulations.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's a blast. Maybe you've got some thoughts, since, you know, you're a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say we would best go about getting more people interested, young people interested in amateur radio? As you well know, as you tune across the bands, you know, it's older guys that are in there. We've got the internet, and somehow the current population has become so entranced. I'm not saying there's a thing wrong with the internet. God knows I use it all the time, but it's not comparable to the magic of talking to somebody on the other side of the world and doing it through nothing but air. I mean, there's just no comparison, but how do we get young people to realize that?
I'm not exactly sure. What did it for me was contesting. I'm very active in contesting now because it's a lot of fun just to work stations really fast. But yeah, the internet has taken some of it away, but I think a lot of it actually helps because we're able to schedule things and I can meet friends on the air, stuff like that.
Oh, well, the internet and ham radio have meshed big time, no question about it. But it seems like young people use it and they look at ham radio and they say, well, why? You know, I can send email to the other side of the world in a flash. Why use radio?
Yeah, well, there is a certain magic, you know, just putting up a wire in the trees and talking to a country that most people in the United States haven't even heard of.
There's not a certain magic. It's total magic.
Yeah.
It really is. All right. Thank you very much, and congrats on getting to be an extra.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care, buddy. Somehow, we have to keep this hobby alive. There are more older people on amateur radio now than certainly when I came in around 1958, and we have to figure out a way to transfer, to tell people, to let people know that there's this magic involved in, as this caller said, you know, throwing a wire up in a tree and transmitting and talking to somebody on the other side of the world with just a wire up in the tree. It's awesome. And we're coming into a sunspot cycle that is really going to be awesome. They say it's going to be the biggest one since 58, and so with very low-power rigs, people are going to be talking all over the world, even to places where the Internet has not yet arrived, islands in the middle of nowhere. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
Let's
try this. Where are you?
Okay. I'm up in Winnipeg, which is central province of Canada.
Oh, yes, and your first name?
I go by the name of Kalum.
Kalum.
Kalum, K-A-L-U-M.
Kalum, pretty exotic. All right, Kalum, what's up?
It was a name given to me, significant of the very topic, interestingly, I'd like to talk to you about, which is a lifetime that I became aware of during the height of the Egyptian civilization, and I wanted to share some interesting corollaries to what's going on with our time cycle right now.
All right. Share away.
Well, most of the enigma around 2012 was much better understood between those cultures at that time, and I played a role of what only could be considered a priest physicist. And the...
I'm not clear on what you're implying here. Are you implying that you were alive during that time?
Correct.
Are you implying that you have you're either eternally alive or you have reincarnated, which be it?
Reincarnated over 7,000 times on this planet alone.
Now, see, how do you remember that? Everybody I talk to about reincarnation is clear on one thing, and that is conscious memories don't move from life to life.
Usually that's the basis or reference of preferential desire to incarnating and somewhat of the agreement of the space-time.
Come on, say it so I can understand it. That's gibberish to me. How do you remember a previous life?
Or do you know how magnetic tapes work, right?
Yes.
You understand that the brain is magnetite, correct?
I do. We have magnetite in our brains, yes. Not a great amount of it, but we do have it.
And we're highly influenced by magnetic fields, as we're finding out, and the implications of the changes, or sometimes termed aberrations, of the solar field, which has direct correlations to the magnetic field, is directly indicative of the conscious movement that opens up the availability to access what has been magnetically erased from our holographic brain. As we're starting to realize through physics, the holographic nature of how our consciousness exercises itself through non-locality, was understood in the ancient days that the sun would directly change the interface to which or how we operate on or to or through the holographic nature that permeates the interface function of or between matter and antimatter.
All right. I get, and I understand what you're saying. You're basically saying that the sun which controls a great deal of the magnetic activity that's going on, magnetic influences and all the rest, is somehow responsible for allowing you to remember, or some activity allowing you to remember previous lives. Is that basically it?
Well, also, not only that, but the function of which you're seeing the rise of shadow beings is part of another spectrum of the electromagnetic portion of which multidimensionality exists upon.
Well, I have thought, thank you very much. That was very interesting. I have thought that modern day computers, which frequently vibrate, they actually vibrate. In other words, there are, you have a refresh rate with a monitor, for example, and you can set that refresh rate. And as you sit in front of a computer for hours on end, it is my theory, and it's only a theory, that you actually, your brain begins to assimilate the vibrational characteristics of what you've been watching for hours, and that just may give us a peek, a look, an occasional glimpse of what may be another dimension. And I'm talking now about another virtual vibrational state. This will make sense to some of you and be gibberish to others, but I'm rather convinced that's why modern people are beginning to see things that they just can't account for. You know, little movements and shadows and things that might be going on at a different vibrational rate. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
This is Bob, WMAN 1400, Mansfield, Ohio.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
I would like, if you would have a guest on, that would describe the mechanism that would make it possible to shade the equator and as far north as hurricanes and tornadoes like this evening exist, such that there would be less thermal gradient from the equator to the poles, and you could still have essentially the same weather at the pole, but we wouldn't have these violent windstorms.
All right. Well, I follow you completely. Thank you. I don't know. That's toying an awful lot with Mother Nature. I understand you are fed up with the violent storms. I don't blame you for one second. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I mean, obviously, I really don't think there are that many people who no longer believe that we're not in a very rapid transitional moment with the weather. We obviously are. However, something of that magnitude, he's talking about shading an actual portion of the Earth from the sun to allow the poles to remain roughly the same, but to cool things off. We don't know enough about doing that kind of thing. I'm not saying we couldn't do it. We probably have the ability, technically, to launch stuff that could actually accomplish that. But I think, you know, messing around with Mother Nature in that way might have consequences. It's kind of like the consciousness thing. We really don't know what would happen. Possibly nothing good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
It's off.
Okay. Proceed.
Oh, Mr. Amos.
Amos?
Yeah.
All right, Amos.
I sent you an email last year.
Yes.
They always talk about, but you never see it. And I got a magnetic motor for you.
You have a motor for me?
Yeah.
Is this a motor that runs on nothing?
Yeah, it went on magnetic. I made it half for a long time, but now I got the whole thing off. What do you call it? I'll put in the box and everything, waiting to send it away to you. And
all right, okay, sir. Listen very carefully
yes.
to me. What you're going to have to do is send it to the Premier Radio Network, and they will get it to me. I'm
yeah.
no longer accepting direct mail here, so you're going to have to send it to Premier, and I would be, as I've always said, more than happy to examine it. If it's a real McCoy...
Oh, it is. I got the whole thing all put together.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay.
So you get it to Premier Radio Networks, all right? Once again, let's plunge back into open lines. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Mr. Art Bell, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Where are you?
Well, I'm in Chicago.
Chicago. On a cell phone? I see you on a cell phone, actually.
Yes. The Big 89, WLS.
What a monster.
Won't play you on Sunday night, so I have to stream link you.
What a monster.
Thank you, God, for stream link, and thank you, God, for Art Bell, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, please.
Oh, come on. 13 years.
Legend crap has got to stop.
13 years I've grown up with you. 13 years of listening to you. And being fascinated by your side, fighting with you by your side, laughing with you by your side, crying with you by your side. You've done it all.
Well, I don't know. You're just trying. This is just a call to make me feel old, isn't it?
Well, hey, that means I'm old, too, so let's not go there.
All right.
I had to come up with a gift for you. You don't come to Chicago much.
Not a lot.
No, so
I go through Chicago. Chicago's the kind of place that, you know, you land at O'Hare, and then you take off from O'Hare, and you go, wow, that's Chicago under that mess there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I came up with a gift for you.
And that would be?
Your deep-voiced announcer. I cannot remember his name.
Ross Mitchell.
That's him, Ross Mitchell.
Yes.
Got some text for him to read for you forever from me to you as a way of saying thanks.
It's, I see.
It's a part of my thesis that I'm writing.
I see.
And it's all actually right. The title.
Well, then email it to me.
I will do that.
You know how to do that, right? Do that.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. That would be, let me give it to everybody, you and everybody, Art Bell. That's ARTBELL, very easy, ARTBELL at AOL.com or Art Bell, preferably, I think, at Mindspring.com. That would be the main one, Art Bell at Mindspring.com. So there you have it. Get it to me, and I'll take a look. If it's a Ross kind of bit of material, I'll forward it on. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm a local hammer operator in Michigan.
Oh, good.
My son has also been licensed. His call sign is KDH.
No. Don't do that. That'll identify your location, sir.
Oh, okay. And he started a program called Ham Kids to start to get youth involved. We got into the hobby, and there isn't many youth.
No, there isn't. There certainly are not. And my question would be, how is he doing it? What enticement, when he talks to other young people, is he using?
A lot to do with the space station. And then,
it's true, you can talk to the space station.
And fox hunting seems to be a pretty big hit with them, too.
Fox hunting, folks, means a transmitter locating. In other words, somebody goes and takes a low-power transmitter and hides somewhere, or hides it, and then, you know, you have a contest to see who can find the transmitter first, right?
Correct. Yeah, and then talking with people all around the world seems to be a real big attraction for youth, and then, you know, people of all ages. So.
Well, the problem, again, is that, you know, young people will say, well, I can do that on my computer. And somehow we've got to ingrain in today's young people how much fun the magic is of being able to do it through the air with, as a caller said a little while ago, nothing more than a wire up in the tree. It's magic. Radio is magic. It's always been magic. And I should go on to add this, that my entry into amateur radio guided my entire life. It got me jobs. You know, amateur radio is a fraternity in which other members frequently help each other out. It's like a secret society. We don't have a special handshake. But we have special numbers we use, and all I can tell you is that it shaped my entire life, and then my movement from amateur radio into commercial radio was en naturel. You know, I entered in the technical end of things, and I'm still there, and then, of course, this side of the microphone, so it shaped my whole life. That's how much I have to thank amateur radio for. Now, again, today's youth looks at a computer and says, you know, I can do that with a computer. No, you can't. No, you can't. And in an emergency, that's certainly one appeal. You may have noticed that newspapers and radio stations, when all other communications are down, and believe me, cell phones go down like matchsticks. And when there's an emergency, the hams get through when nobody else does. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, am I on?
Well, I hope so. What is your first name?
This is Ellen, and I'm in Nebraska.
Hello, Ellen.
I'm calling because I had a vision that I am concerned might come true. And I don't usually have this kind of a vision. I saw a big cargo ship in a river, and to the left of it, to the west of it, was a building about 6 floors high and 2, if not 3 blocks long. And suddenly the shore end of the building just totally collapsed, and the rest of it collapsed in that direction.
Wow.
And at the same time, I got the word Philadelphia.
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 All right.
And I think, I know that if this happens, it will be this month, and it will be on a Monday.
Why? How do you know? Okay, how do you know that?
It just comes to me. I don't know. I've never had anything quite like this before. I'm scared. I think that this is a place where they process fish, and there could be hundreds of people in that building when this happens.
Well, that's quite a vision, all right. Did you have it once, or is it one of these repeated things?
No, it just, I've never had anything quite like this, you know, especially with a word, you know.
Uh-huh.
And this is not a place that I would ever visit or envision.
Right.
I was just walking across the room getting ready to sit down, and here came this thing, you know, with an announcement. And I couldn't help thinking there was a reason why I was getting it.
And maybe there's a reason why you got through on the phones tonight.
I think so, too.
Maybe
I actually had my cousin email you today for fear I wouldn't get through. I've been trying for 3 or 4 nights.
All right. Well, it is now duly registered, I assure you. And if you are correct, why, of course, we'll have you back. And
if there's somebody in Philadelphia who knows where this place is, just so they can, you know, warn people.
All right. I appreciate the call. I doubt that any warning served up from a vision would be followed, but I mean, that's just the way the world is. But I can absolutely assure you that if it occurs after this phone call, there will be many people paying attention. I doubt anything will be done because of a vision, but certainly if you hit it, we'll pay attention. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. Where are you?
I am in York, Nebraska right now.
Okay.
I'm calling about your show last night about the Phoenix Light.
Oh, yes.
And what was really strange is when I was listening to it last night, I didn't have any cell phone signal out in the middle of Wyoming because there was a blizzard. But when that was happening, I was with meeting my wife. Where I met my wife was at the Grand Canyon.
Yes, sir.
And we have pictures of these lights at the Grand Canyon. There was 3 orbs hovering around the south rim of the Grand Canyon for like 20 minutes.
How good is your photography?
Well, it's good enough that you can actually see the solid orbs.
Oh, my. All right.
And
do you have the ability to get these photographs to me? Can you scan them? Can you in some way get them to me?
Yes, I can. I can email them to your email address, either at the AOL or the Mindspring.
Please do that post haste. How long have you been hanging on? Well, obviously, this entire time. Have you sent these photographs elsewhere?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
For fear of being called a kook or they're not real.
All right. Well, you won't get that from me. So
well, I understand that, and the thing that really got me going last night was when the guest that you had on said they were moving towards the Tucson area.
That's right.
And between Tucson and Phoenix, I have a buddy who lives in Casa Grande, which is right in the middle of Tucson and Phoenix. It's actually closer to Phoenix, but he saw the same lights as well.
Yeah, well, a whole lot of people saw them. Get that to me post-haste, please, and I'll get it up. If it's a really good stuff, I'll not only get it up for the audience, but we'll get them examined. That case is going to continue to be examined for a very long time, but fresh evidence like that and good quality photographs, will really add to the mix. So anybody else hanging on to evidence, why would you hang on to evidence like that? Well, I guess I do understand. Nobody wants to be called a kook. But if you have actual photographic evidence of that kind of thing, please, by all means, get it to me. We'll get it examined. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Amy in Kansas City.
Hey there.
Hi. I had a really terrifying dream the other night. Can I tell you about it?
You may. It doesn't involve a big fish place in Philly, does it?
No, all it right. doesn't.
Okay.
Not at all. But I was in an auditorium watching a show with a lot of people, and suddenly time just stopped.
Really?
And I've never had a dream where time just stopped. It felt like...
Well, all right, wait, back up.
Uh-huh.
Describe to me, I mean, it's unimaginable that time would stop. Otherwise, how could you dream of it unless time had stopped for everything and everybody except you?
Well, that's what was so strange. It was like when you watch a DVD and it gets stuck on a scratch or something.
Right.
Everything just froze.
Oh, how weird is that?
And some of us could move our eyes, and we were looking at each other sideways trying to figure out what was going on.
Huh.
And, of course, we were all paralyzed. But I had this sensation of not only trying to move my arms and legs, but I was trying to push time. I was trying to get it to go again.
Huh.
And then... I was stuck in that state for a while with all these people, and then suddenly I was enveloped in white light. And my sensation was, my first thought was, I've just died. That's it for me.
Boy, that's really something.
And I was in the white light for a little bit, and then I came back trying to get awake.
You know why that is really so interesting? Because it would be my theory, and I believe it's the theory of many, ma'am, that... if you pass to the other side, there is no time. So if you had sort of a living NDE, then I can understand this cessation of time. Maybe there was a little hiccup in something and you got to experience something special. Who knows?
That's what it felt like. Something strange just stopped, and I wasn't sure if I was having a near-death experience or if it was sleep paralysis.
Right.
Because when I tried to wake up, I couldn't move. And it took a while for me to be able to move my arms and my legs, but slowly the feeling came back in.
Sounds like paralysis, all right. And, okay, thank you very much. And especially the time kind of stuttering and stopping is weird. Now, who is to say whether what she just told us is just a description of, you know, sleep paralysis, which we know does occur? And who's to say that it wasn't absolutely real and that these things as described are not absolutely real? None of us can say that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Larry in Fort Lauderdale.
Hello.
Hello. Well, last time I talked to you was the eve of the hurricane here.
I remember.
And in a few hours later, we were to be plunged in darkness for about 15 days. It got pretty bad, and we're still cleaning up from it.
And I'm afraid the season, of course, is upon us just about again.
Oh, we don't even want to think about it. All our roofs still have tarp on it from FEMA, and you can't find contractors. It's a mess. The real reason I called was when you mentioned what would it take to get people interested in the fine art of ham radio.
Yes.
Two things came to mind. One, last night during one of your breaks, I don't know if you played it or Premier played it or it was local, but there was a PSA that very succinctly explained the glorious and the good and the satisfying parts of ham radios and how they survive when everything else fails, like the telephone lines, cable lines, and everything else.
Yes, I believe that's an ARRL PSA, and I run it on KNYE here in Pahrump, Nevada.
Oh.
Again, sir, it's a matter of trying to describe something that's almost indescribable, the magic that you experience when you transmit through the air. It's just magic.
Well, there is another way to do that. And that is this, and looking back, what gets young people interested is if a writer was to put it into a mainline teenage action movie or an episodic television show, then teens tend to want to emulate that. And the ones that are really interested will start researching it. They'll go to the AARL website, and I think you'd see probably thousands of new licenses being issued just for
what
one,
a really good idea. You have hit on a good one. The tube goes everywhere and is paid attention to by young people. What a really good idea.
So if a writer is listening of an episodic TV series or an action movie, it's an angle that you usually don't see. It was in a, I think in a 60s movie where a kid was, a crippled kid was stuck in a building that all the electric and the phones were cut off, and the only way he got out was, I think, by CB. But it wouldn't take much of a stretch of imagination for someone to write in a very good ham part, especially in a disaster-type movie where everything else is down and all you've got the car battery and a radio and, like the guy says, a wire in a tree.
Well, it's been used, of course, in many movies like, Frequency was a movie in which ham radio was portrayed. Contact, remember Jodie Foster?
Yes.
Portrayed there, and in many others, and in many end-of-the-world movies, you know, this is Lawrence, Kansas calling. But,
right.
But you're right. We need, we need a good TV, very popular TV series to actually show it in action. And that sure would move mountains. Very good idea, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So if there's any writers listening out there, you know, if you write weekly, series, please consider that, and I would be glad to consult, or you'll be able to find a very good consultant, but portraying amateur radio as it really is would be awesome, and it would do a lot of good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Lisa in Pensacola.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I feel for the previous caller in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
We're awaiting hurricane season two.
Yeah.
And still recovering from Ivan, Dennis, Katrina.
And I must tell you, the count so far on tornadoes, which have begun in a very serious way this year, is 82. We've had 82 tornadoes already.
It's terrible. I live in a mobile home, so I dread any kind of bad weather.
Of course.
And luckily, this thing has survived all the hurricanes, the little tornadoes that come through here. So I consider myself blessed. I was going to say, the caller that was talking about, you know, changing the weather or whatever.
Yes.
Don't do it. As bad as it is, don't even consider it, because we need these weather events to avoid the big blow up.
Well, I'm sorry, but we do. I mean, even the hurricanes, they're nature's air conditioners. You know,
yes.
They're converting the heat in the oceans, which is too prolific at the moment, into into moisture and just they're air conditioning the planet.
It's like a pressure cooker. If you don't let the steam out, the thing explodes.
Yeah.
And that's what I fear would happen if people start tampering with the weather. And also on the ham radio, the show idea, that's a great one.
It is.
They need to portray the young people actually as the ham operators, though, to get the teenagers interested. Get a late teens, 20-something star of the series. You know, I'm older, so I, you know, would like to see more people my age.
It scars your sensibilities, and take the opportunity to tune out now. Dr. Evelyn Paglini, parapsychologist, is one of the leading authorities on the occult and the supernatural in the United States, and therefore in the world, really. She was born into a centuries-old family of practitioners of the occult, and at the age of 4, her grandfather began teaching her what she calls natural magic. She is a psychic, metaphysical teacher, lecturer, consultant, doctor of divinity, and spiritual warrior. She also founded the International Psychic Center, a research investigation organization, and has been called upon as an expert by law enforcement agencies. So that tells you what they think. She has set precedent in the Texas court system on a child abuse case with ritual overtones, and worked with law enforcement on missing persons and murder cases involving the occult and the supernatural. And once again, if you are offended by such material, now would be the time to tune out for the rest of you. Brace yourselves. have personal reasons to understand that Evelyn Paglini is the real thing. Ramona was a protege. She was very much involved. And therefore, I know a great deal about Evelyn that you don't. And I'm telling you, she's a real McCoy. Here she is, Evelyn Paglini. Evelyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Art, and Coast to Coast.
Good to have you. Really good to have you. Would you please, if it's, I mean, I call you a witch. I don't know if that's appropriate or not.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Would you please give sort of a capsule description? There's going to be a lot of people listening this morning who, all of whom have heard of a witch, but they don't really know what a real witch does. I mean, tell me about witchcraft. Tell me about the power, what can be done, what's real. Tell me about witchcraft.
Well, witchcraft is magic, and what we're doing is manipulating the energies and the forces of nature and the elements in order to influence or affect change.
All right, let's stop right there. You're influencing the elements of nature. In other words, the wind, the rain, the forces of nature. Is that what you mean?
Yes, we're using the elements of air, earth, fire, and water, as well as everything in nature which has a vibration, in order to manipulate those forces in our favor in order to affect change in our life as well as in the lives of others.
So it's a practical thing. Now, let me run this by you. I think most Americans have the traditional view of God and the devil, good and evil, and they view witchcraft as on the evil side of things. Could you elaborate on where it really is?
Well, I could understand why, because certainly it is always the negative that has been responded to and talked about. When you are dealing with power, power is a double-edged sword. It can be either negative or positive,
right.
And it is that which is wielded by the practitioner, where they either make it white or black. And so, in so doing, there is times that only the negative is being used, because those practitioners out there realize that they have the power to subjugate,
right,
or victimize,
right,
others.
All right. So then capsulized, it is simply a power that is, and it can be used like all other power, a gun for good. Well, I don't know how you use a gun for good. Well, target practice. For good or evil. So it's in the intent of the person practicing the craft.
That is correct. There is no black or white. Any practitioner must take responsibility for their action, because it is by their intent is the outcome, and that outcome is either one of positive, which may be, let's say you want to affect change, help a person with their career, their love life, or even their health. Or you can affect it in a negative fashion by removing the career from an individual, causing health difficulties.
Boy, that's a lot of power. If it's real, and I certainly agree with you that it is, that's a very, very great deal of power.
And it has been used by practitioners of every tradition for thousands of years.
And in fact, as I read at the beginning, your grandfather, I guess, initiated you. Is that fair?
Yes, I was initiated at 4 years old, and I was trained in the occult to become a spiritual warrior, which is to fight negativity and evil. In other words, see, a lot of witches out there, they say they only deal in white magic.
Yes, I know.
And that they harm none.
I know, I know. I talk to them all the time. And by the way, they're really after somebody like you all the time. They don't believe, well, I'm not saying they don't believe you're real, but they say, look, that's Wicca is where it's at. And we inevitably get Wiccans calling up saying, this is all baloney, and it can only be used for good. I tend not to believe that myself. If the power is real, then like any other power, it can be wielded with the intent of the user.
That is correct. And I don't blame them. They're trying to, because witchcraft has had such a negative influence on people and the media. When a person that is a practitioner says that they are only practicing white magic, it's trying to avail those individuals so that there is no fear. But like you said, Art, if you know magic, magic is a power, and that power is neutral. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, if I'm going to use it to help you, I'm still using the same magic if I want to destroy you.
The right, and you just will not hear people utter the words that you have just uttered. I mean, they just say it's impossible. And to that you say, I'm sure, rubbish.
Well, there's been too many traditions and cultures out there and practitioners who have proved it otherwise and have so for thousands of years. So, again, the practitioner or the Wiccan that is saying that they only do white is trying to say, I'm a good person, I won't harm you.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they can't. They're only saying they won't.
Do you think that a Wiccan would agree with that?
Any Wiccan will who's a practitioner.
Well, I don't know. Would they actually admit that they could, if they wished or willed it, do harm?
Well, when we open up the phone lines,
we'll
why don't you
out.
Have them call in and
well,
answer
I,
that
I,
question? In,
inevitably, they're going to, Evelyn, so I'm sure we will. And we'll ask exactly that. Now, look, on a previous program, I forget now, it was a long time ago.
November the 21st, 2004.
Good memory. You issued some very strong warnings, many of which have come true. I think you talked about flooding, gas interruptions, oil prices, interest rate hikes, the housing slowdown, layoffs. You laid all of that out, and by God, it all came true.
Yes, Art, unfortunately it did, and I was trying to give your audience the edge on the future so that they can make choices and have some good options. Unfortunately, I have some more warnings.
Okay, well, we'll get to those, but I guess I want to go back and ask you, what part of what you do, Evelyn, allows you to see these things?
Because I do an awful lot of altar work, I call upon the assistance of the elements. And when I am calling upon the elements, and I had mentioned it several times in the last couple of years, that when I have been calling upon the elements, I've noticed that their intensity, their force, has been very difficult to control.
Oh, really?
And it seems that Mother Nature has called upon the elements to do a cleansing on the earth. And so I'm going to say to this audience, get prepared, because what is going to be happening in the coming years, your book, The Coming Global Superstorm, is going to see utter reality.
Well, I've seen too much of it already. What are the elements? Can you name off the elements?
Air, earth, fire, and water. And what I want to talk about first is the elements of a combination of water and air. Art, I'm seeing, we already have some severe flooding going on right now.
Right.
We have tornadoes going on right now.
Yes, we do.
Well, the severe flooding for the Midwest and the Northeast is only the beginning. As the year progresses, these tornadoes will gain in intensity. I'm seeing clusters of them. I'm looking for, and Art, I don't want this to be right, but I am picking up an F4 or an F5. Mm-hmm. I mean very destructive tornadoes with winds in excess of 250 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
These tornadoes are going to defy the rules. They're going to be doing things they have not done before.
Many, many of the weather patterns are right now defying the rules. And I actually want to move backwards. Air, earth, fire, and water. You said that you sensed a much higher activity or energy level in these elements.
Yeah, they happened about 2 years ago, Art, and I had mentioned it on air with you. I said that the elements have been called into action. I didn't understand why I used that word, but later when I was going into the altar over the months that had progressed, it was as if the elements were telling me that they were going to unleash their forces by combining the elements together in order to cleanse the earth. It's like there was a rage going on within the planet, within the forces of nature, and it wanting to cleanse or rid the earth, teaching it a lesson somehow.
Well, we use the term Mother Nature in a pretty cavalier way. Is there a Mother Nature? Is there a spirit, or how would you describe, is there really a Mother Nature?
Well, we call the goddess the Mother Nature. And so, yes, there is a deity, and many people will call upon the goddess when they are performing ritual.
A deity?
Yes. Diana is usually used as the goddess and Mother Nature. And she is the person who will call upon the elements and use the elements in order to chastise the earth and the people therein.
Is it actually a chastisement, or, you know, I've said frequently on the show, Mother Nature doesn't get angry, she gets even.
Well, and that's chastisement to me.
Well, I guess it is, but, you know, come at it from this way, Evelyn, is there an actual anger there, or is it simply that we have some things out of balance and Mother Nature prefers balance?
I would have to agree with that. She does prefer balance and will set things right in a forceful way. If we do not handle it, she handles it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I had mentioned, this intensity that I am picking up just with the hurricanes and the tornadoes, speaking of hurricanes, Art, again, a very, very active and long-lived hurricane season we are about to enter, with at least five major hurricanes.
Oh, my God. If that, you mean five major hurricanes hitting land?
Correct.
Oh, well, there's going to be, if that actually happens, if we have a season of the kind of magnitude you just predicted, there will be many people moving away from the coastline.
That's right. Once again, evacuation is going to be necessary in the wake of the coming disasters. I am going to warn Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama to get prepared. There is also going to be major flooding in California. Several disaster areas will be declared by the governor. This is throughout the year. And there will be levees and dams that will be breaking.
If you lived in one of those areas, are you sure enough of what you're saying that you would move?
I would move, or I would make sure that I got prepared. You saw what happened to Hurricane Katrina and the people involved.
Yeah.
They were on their own. And so with power out, with flooding, with inaccessibility, people are going to be on their own, and they must be prepared so that they can save themselves and their families and their pets.
Well, let me tell you this, Evelyn. I watched with morbid fascination. I Ramona and myself tracked these hurricanes. We watched them and literally had the Weather Channel going on all the time. And then when they were hitting between Fox and CNN, I mean, we were just absolutely riveted. And Evelyn, I've got to tell you, some of these hurricanes in their formative stage, and as they moved from like Category 1s or even tropical storms, all the way to Cat 5 hurricanes did some of the weirdest damn things I've ever seen, hurricanes. And I know the meteorologist probably will write to me and say you're crazy, but I saw some jogs that were taken that were almost paranormal. They were so weird. I saw some intensities build that almost had to be paranormal. They were so fast and so violent.
And that's what you're going to have again this season and next season.
Huh.
And next winter, this nation will not have a mild season as we have this year. I want people to look forward to bitter cold, and it's going to begin late fall, and it's going to stay cold. There's going to be record snowfalls. There is going to be whiteouts, naturally power outages,
mm-hmm.
closing of airports, many flight delays, and what I'm really worried about is travelers being stranded for hours.
And so you believe this sort of thing is going to go on for, you mentioned 2 years. Will it end then or change? Or
I've only pulled it out to 2007-2008 winter. And I don't like the 2006-07, and I don't like the 2007-2008. I did not go any further than that. I felt that this was enough of an edge to get people prepared.
Well, based on the hits that you had from that prediction show last November. It really is so much fun to watch the reactions that I get on the computer. You know, as we do a program, people can send fast blasts. And despite the warning, those who just, I guess, couldn't help themselves, listened anyway. And so you get reactions like this from Aunt Dash. Art, this is, well, I can't even read these words. You know, they're getting me in trouble on the radio. But basically, skipping around, she's a blankety-blank charlatan. Keep her in. Well, I can't read that either, and that. Bull stuff, Art. Maybe somebody ought to shut down your blankety-blank radio station. So, you know, there's somebody really, really angry calling you a charlatan, and this, you know, witchcraft can't be real, and what a bunch of BS. And there's a lot of anger there from Warren, Michigan. Evelyn, what do you say to somebody like that?
Well, the predictions that I have made in the past have already come true. As far as witchcraft is concerned, I think most people out there know that it works. And for those people who don't, that's their opinion and that's okay. But as far as being a charlatan,
yeah.
No, sir. I try to do is give people the edge on their future. I try to empower them. So a person that's a charlatan is a taker, not a giver. And since I have been on your show for the last 9 years, I have taught magic right on air.
I know.
And I've given it away.
And then Shay from Parker, Colorado says, it's amazing that Evelyn's talking about Mother Earth doing a cleansing of the earth. I'm a witch, too. And another very dear friend of mine who's also a witch, we were just saying exactly the same thing 2 weeks ago. Thanks for having her on. So you're either going to get, you know, people agreeing with you, or you're going to get people hating you, kind of like Ed Dames, not much in the middle. And I guess some people irresistibly couldn't take my warning, and they had to listen anyway. So they're angry. I guess, Evelyn, things that people don't understand, and of course, bad news delivered, which you've already delivered a little bit of, tends to make people angry.
And I can understand that. There's an awful lot of fear. There's an awful lot of panic out there. They are feeling something, but they can't put their finger on it.
Oh, I agree.
What I'm trying to do is make it a little bit clearer. And now I'm going to talk about the element of fire and air and earth. With all of the water and the flooding that we are having, you would think that we would have a mild fire season.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case.
Oh, no, that's weird.
Major fires will be in California, Arizona, and even parts of the Midwest. We are going to contend with raging fires this summer and fall.
And how do you get that with, you know, the amount of moisture?
That's what I want to know. But that's what I'm seeing. I looked at all of the flooding and all of the damage that is going to be caused by it, and I could not understand why in the heat of summer, July, August, and again in October, November, these fires were breaking out in all these different states, and I went, this has got to be something I've not seen before.
Oh, that's really weird.
And I'm not done.
Okay.
Earthquakes, Art.
Earthquakes.
Yeah. I feel that there will be two major earthquakes in this nation.
Shake and bake.
There will be this year one in California and the other in the Midwest. Even though they will be over a 6 on the Richter scale, they are only a precursor to what is coming in 2007.
Really?
Now, you also talked earlier about volcanoes.
I did, yes, Vesuvius.
Well, I got news for you, Art. You're right on again. The element of earth and fire.
It's not me. It's a news story. I read a news story, Evelyn. They said Vesuvius and what it did to Pompeii could be nothing compared to what it's capable of.
Well, I have to agree because I've got the element of earth and the element of fire being ready to display its force by the use of volcanoes becoming very active, and I've got more than one.
Okay. I've had other intuitives in the past, like Gordon Michael Scallion, who use volcanic eruptions as markers for the rest of their predictions.
Okay.
They say once this happens, then the following is going to happen.
I would have to agree with them. And now I want to get to the economy.
Is it going to blow up too?
Well, Art, I'm very worried about the average American. They are being squeezed.
Yes.
Now the economy is going to continue. It's going to see increases in the interest rates still moving up.
See, a lot of people want to know about that. They're all wondering, well, new Fed chairman, are they going to keep the rates going up?
Yep.
Sort of in honor of he who was doing it when he left, or will they go back down again, or have they topped out? Everybody wants to know, you're saying.
They have not topped out. They should go up at least 2 to 3 times more, causing people to lose their homes.
Now, do you mean 2 or 3 more increases? Or
yes.
Okay.
2 or 3 more increases, and that's going to cause people to lose their homes and file bankruptcy, which I had said about a year ago, and it is now starting to happen.
Well, it surely is true enough. A lot of people had those, adjustable mortgage rates,
yep,
and they thought it would go on forever at the bottom, and of course, it's not.
I warned of severe layoffs in the tens of thousands, and that has begun.
That's true.
And it will escalate. People will have to change their careers. People now are living paycheck to paycheck.
Many.
And they are heavily in debt, borrowing equity from their home and living off their credit cards.
That's right.
They are the ones that are going to be really getting squeezed. Why? One, not only the interest rate hikes, but oil prices will continue to climb. Look for $70 a barrel by the end of the year.
Mm.
Now, do you remember when I said about an interruption of oil and it happened?
I do, yes.
And then the oil prices and gasoline prices spiked?
Yes.
Well, there's going to be a shortage of gasoline before the year is out and another interruption of oil. Because of this, there will be a major stock market correction this fall.
Okay.
The Dow Jones will not be able to stop the free fall.
Okay, let's pin this one down. This fall, the market, nobody likes to use the word crashes.
No, correction.
You're saying correction.
Major correction.
All right. If and I don't know what it is right now, somewhere around 11,000 something.
Yeah.
Corrected to where?
I feel a good 300 to 400 free fall here.
Okay. Well, the market can handle that, I think.
Yeah, but that's the beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah, because then money and credit is going to become very tight. And also I want to mention there's going to be a major increase in civil unrest with riots breaking out in
good
cities.
Lord. This is getting worse and worse and worse in every category.
Yeah, I know, Art.
Do you have any understanding of what issue will bring on civil unrest?
I don't know. All I know is I'm seeing not just, honey, locally. I'm seeing cities having to be put under almost martial law because of the civil unrest that's going to be starting. And again, I pick it up the end of this year, escalating in 7 and 8.
Man, this is wild stuff, and it's near term, near term.
I'm trying to come as close as possible, Art, to give the people as much warning as I can. And now I want to talk about viruses.
Oh, okay.
Now, you mentioned about the bird flu, and there are so many people out there who have an expertise in that area, so I'm not going to touch that one.
Well, only that I'm reading a new news story every weekend or two about where the bird flu is now, and now we're expecting it in the U.S. from birds that are going to come from Asia. So clearly, the bird flu is now spreading around the world. It's in Europe. It's going around the world. The only question, Evelyn, and it's the big one, and that is, if it becomes transmissible human to human, we have just an unimaginable horror on our hands.
We have a pandemic on our hands.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
There is impending danger that is associated with the bird flu, and I feel that, again, not this year, but next year and the year after, that is going to be something to contend with. However, I want to warn the people about a killer strain of virus that shows up in the 2006-2007 flu season. And it's a killer. We won't be able to handle the sick. There won't be enough doctors, nurses, and hospitals to care for them. There won't be enough vaccine to put the people's mind at rest. I want people to start now. Please build your immune system. Stay away from those you see are sick. And please wash your hands frequently.
Boy, I'll tell you, I'll second that one. I read, I believe it might have been an Economist article, which suggested that Americans stop the damned handshaking and begin adopting the Japanese custom of bowing at each other. And if we were to do that, it would end some giant percentage of sickness.
I have to agree, and that's what I want people to do. I want to stress this. The first outbreak of this virus will be the 2006-2007. But, sir, in 2007-2008 flu season, it's even worse.
Boy, that's frightening. I mean, you're describing virtual disaster with our weather, with our economy, and with our health.
Yeah. So now I want to do something positive.
All at once, huh?
Yeah.
This is going to happen all at once. Are we going to...
2006, 2007, 2008, the next three
years. Would you like to offer any items that we can look for that if... that happens, then obviously the rest of this is unfolding, or is it just a done deal?
I feel, sir, it's a done deal, but I want to give some tips and some suggestions to help people in this, what I call, you know, Art, I wish you wrote a book, The Coming Global Superstorm.
Correct.
I wish you would write a book called The Coming Economic Storm.
Well, that was in the quickening. I can certainly see it happening, and you're suggesting that the economic superstorm is going to be basically oil-based? In other words, the price of everything, and that pushes... we all know that as goes oil, goes America.
Correct. So, number one, if you still have an adjustable rate mortgage, would you please get out of it?
Yeah.
Number two, pay down your debt, especially on credit cards. Three, all facets of the health industry will be looking for employees. There's a good job security, and with all of the people having layoffs and having to change their careers, that's one industry to look into.
You know something I've wondered about, Evelyn? If something as bad as the bird flu got out, and let's say that it had a mortality rate anywhere between 50% and 60%, that's, you know, 5 out of 6 are going to die, at least, who get it. And it becomes transmissible as the flu. I wonder if, it seems to me the healthcare system itself would almost immediately fail, because half or better than half of the healthcare workers would die very quickly.
I would have to agree, especially if they do not have immunization. But again, because there is such a shortage in the healthcare industry on all levels, that is still an excellent job opportunity to get into. For all of those people, you have been mentioning gold and platinum and silver, and they certainly have raised their prices, and people have made a lot of money.
Yeah, what's up with that? The metals increasing in value like this. Silver just took, I think, a big jump. What's up with that?
Well, because of what's going on with the economy, those people who are smart are moving into precious metals.
Well, that would indicate then that a lot of people agree with you with regard to the future, the immediate future of the economy. When people start moving to metals, it's because they're scared.
And rightfully so. And gold and platinum and silver will be continue to climb in a good investment. However, I would like people to take a look at palladium. This is going to be going well over the $1,000 mark. It is still low, so they can get into it and make money.
Why palladium?
Because palladium is a derivative of platinum, and it is very, very well used in many, many things. And right now, most people are not aware of it. And so it's a good investment. Just as years ago I talked about gold and platinum and silver, and I made people money, now I'm telling them to jump into palladium.
Palladium. And again, you've had so much specific advice. I'd like to know how this comes to you. Is there a voice that tells you this? Do you just divine it? Do you do some ritual to bring the information to you? How?
First of all, I do ritual. I do divine it. I do hear the voices.
All of it, huh?
But also, Art, when I am consulting, there are so many people who will ask me about investments, how they can save or make money.
Right.
And so they're putting my attention there. And because they are asking me specifics,
yeah, I suppose so.
It comes out. Now, pharmaceutical stocks and energy stocks will do very, very well. Coal and natural gas and alternative fuel stocks mm-hmm. will do very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the housing market will become a buyer's market, and in very, very good deals will be able to be made.
Even in the high interest rate environment?
Yep, because people will be selling their homes because they can't pay the mortgage. So it's going to become a buyer's market.
Well, you know, Evelyn, I've paid my mortgage off a long time ago. By the credit card, I think the credit card companies call me a deadbeat. And they do that because I never, ever allow anything to go over a month within the month of the use of a credit card. And they are useful. You can order things on the internet. You can use them. It's fine. But you pay it off right away. And so they never collect any interest from you. And as a result, they consider me a deadbeat.
Well, I would suggest that everybody become one, if they could. Now, for all of the jewelers and the jewelry makers out there. Believe it or not, your natural colored stones are tripling in price.
Is that so?
So I would suggest to all of those out there, buy now and save, especially tanzanite, spessartite, labradorite, kunzite, morganite, and even London blue topaz.
Once again, Evelyn Baglini. Evelyn, welcome back.
Thank you.
Do spells and curses really work?
Yes, Art, they do.
I have endless communication, Evelyn, from people who say they have had a curse put on them and their life has been ruined. Their life literally in every category. Honest folks, when I tell you this, I really mean it, that they've had a curse put on them and their life is ruined and they're looking for any way out, Evelyn. What do these people do? I mean, what do they do?
Well, first of all, if someone has been placed a curse, have had a spell put on them,
yes,
are under psychic attack,
yes,
first of all, let them go to my website, mysticalblend.com. If they will look under ritual packages, there is one there that is called psychic self-defense. What this does is it removes evil and negativity, sends it back to the sender, and then puts a shield of protection that is impenetrable around the individual.
All right, let's take a curse, for example. Evelyn, if you were to put a curse on somebody, let me understand this. You would put the curse on them, and then would you turn your back and just forget about it from that point on? In other words, once the curse is laid on, it would do its own work, or would you have to consistently reinforce that?
No, I do not have to reinforce it. Once I say so be it, it is done. It's done.
And that curse begins, and then under its own power, it just wreaks havoc in a life.
It feeds on itself and anything else around it.
Do you do that at a price?
What do you mean? You mean, are you going to pay a price if the person...
No. If you were to put a curse on somebody, there's popular legend that there's karma.
You would pay the price.
That's my question,
If you have justification, no. If that person is an innocent victim, yes.
Okay. So if they're an innocent victim and you're a mean, bad witch...
then you are going to get the law of either threefold, or if another practitioner found out about it like me, I will invoke the law of tenfold.
All right. I hear that a lot. Threefold, tenfold, meaning... it comes back to you three times stronger, that kind of thing?
That's right. Or 10 times stronger. And normally what I will do is put a length of time on it, like 5 years, 10 years.
Huh. That's a long time.
Yeah, well, depending on the circumstances and what that individual has done to another, that will justify the time.
Have you put such a curse on a person?
Many, many times.
Many times?
Many times.
Uh-huh. All justified?
All justified. Mm-hmm. I will never touch an innocent. That's why I am a spiritual warrior.
And the kind of things that have happened to these people are what?
I have seen people's health completely ruined, their career completely ruined, marriages destroyed, companies and businesses failed.
These are the things these people write to me are complaining about, Evelyn. They're complaining about exactly that.
Yeah.
Now, in America, I guess we might as well talk about America. How many people are practitioners of what you're doing?
Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And they're that far underground. There are not many people like you, Evelyn, who come on the air and admit what you're doing, what you are.
Well, that's because, again, most people want to consider that they are only practicing white magic so that the normal population will not fear them. Well, they tell it like it is.
Witches probably have a good reason for not tossing that kind of fear around. I mean, after all, they really did get burned at, you know, they burned a lot of witches,
and
right?
And they got burned at the stake.
Yeah.
And if they had done that to innocent victims, then that is the recourse.
Maybe if they just said, hey, I'm a Wiccan, I just don't do anything but good, and nothing but good can actually be done, they wouldn't have been burned.
That's a possibility, but it is not a truism.
Well, I understand, but honesty in your business can have hot results.
Well, that's why there are only a few of me out there that will tell it like it is.
I've not met another. I did interview that young lady. I don't know if you recall that or not. I think I've mentioned it to you actually before.
You're talking about the Satanist witch?
Yeah, oh God, she was frightening. And as chilling as it gets, she said she was going to make sure that her son came to hell with her. And she was real serious.
Yeah, she was dead serious. And she was going to do it. And could do it.
That was going to be my next question. How can somebody like yourself determine that a soul is going to go to hell, particularly that of a child? How could that be done? Or maybe I don't want to know.
It's not so much to determine. You have to find out who the practitioner is, what the sect they belong to, and have they made a commitment to the dark side and offered a child as part of the sacrifice for the power they are going to receive.
Oh, God.
And it's been done. It's been done for centuries, Art. It's not something brand new.
Well, you know, law enforcement tends to say that there's very little of that kind of thing actually going on, but...
Well, why would they know about it?
On the other hand, Evelyn, there have been ritual killings, haven't there?
Very much so. And the police force is not going to find out about it. They don't advertise it to the public. These are secret societies that have been around for centuries, and part of their ritual practices is sometimes the sacrificing of human.
I'm almost afraid to ask. Obviously, it's done for a reason, so the person doing it believes they derive power from
they
something like that.
They do derive power.
They
yes.
do derive power.
Yes.
Boy, that's dark stuff, Evelyn.
Yes, it is, and there is the dark side of magic. I have never said that there was not. I've always tried to give balance in magic. I've always tried to teach the positive end, but I must acknowledge that there certainly is the dark side.
And you really couldn't properly combat the dark side without knowing it, could you?
Correct. I fight fire with fire.
See, that makes sense to me. As in know your enemy. You would have to understand the dark side and its ways to fight it.
And use the forces in order to combat it. This is one time love isn't going to get it.
God, I've always thought of love as the most powerful thing in the universe. But you say, no, love doesn't.
No, not when
conquer.
You are fighting a practitioner on the dark side. Love is not going to win out.
Well, you said there's tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of practitioners. How many of those are on the dark side, do you think?
I'm going to say maybe 40, 45%, if not more.
Oh, my God.
Art, when you deal in magic, you gain knowledge and power. And power can corrupt. If you are not in balance, then you are going to be prone to lean toward the dark side because your ego is going to get involved, and you're going to want to manipulate, control, and subjugate, and intimidate.
All right, let's talk about that. Controlling, for example. I've had a whole string of remote viewers on the air that I've interviewed over the years, and one subject I inevitably get to with them is remote influencing, and
yes.
That means remotely making somebody do something. And you know what? They all get real quiet, where they'd say, oh, no, no, that can't be done. Or just a few select will say, well, you know what? We've started to experiment with that, and it would appear as though it's possible, and then they won't say very much else about it at all, Evelyn.
Well, that's because it is very dangerous. It has been used for, again, thousands of years. There is no practitioner out there, no matter the culture or the tradition, that has not been able to use remote influencing.
Yeah.
When I open up my altar, when I have an effigy or a representation of an individual, the ritual I am performing is to influence that person, to manipulate them in the fashion I desire. Positive or negative.
When you say altar, describe it.
I have an altar. That altar has, let's say, candles, an atham, a boline,
a chafing dish,
a chalice.
I don't know what chalice I know. Back up. What are these?
Tools of the trade. All right. Specific candles in colors to represent what I am attempting to accomplish.
All right.
Image candle to represent the individual or subject I am working on. Then I will call down a cone of power. I will call upon the elements of air, earth, fire, and water to assist me, as well as to, let's say, bear witness for what I am about to do. When I open up this altar, then, and calling upon my elements, that's when I am performing a ritual either to help or to harm a subject.
Would these things, the altar and the candles and so forth and so on, if they weren't there, could it still be done, or is it dependent upon these very, very specific rituals, specific words, to do these things?
It can be done with the mind alone. Most people do not realize the power of the mind. Art, we only use less than 10% of our brain capacity.
Right.
I would have to say the real last frontier is the mind. With meditation and visualization, you can relieve stress, anxiety, pressure, and tension just by the power of your own mind to help yourself. People have had and have undergone surgery with the power of the mind.
I've heard that.
You can program the mind to even have a dream to solve a problem that you have.
Yeah, oh, there's no question about that.
You can relieve pain. You can heal the body.
Or conversely, I've heard people can make themselves sick.
That's
people
right.
People can even virtually kill themselves.
That's right.
They can make themselves so sick. And all of that can be done with the mind. And I agree totally with you that it is... without a doubt, the last frontier. And I've done some experiments, as you well know, that lead me to believe it may be the most powerful frontier.
It is. If you want to affect change, if you want to attract good fortune, to improve your lifestyle, your career, your social life, and even your love life, you can, with the power of your mind, using meditation and visualization, just like placing a curse, putting a spell,
mm-hmm.
affecting a cure, healing the body, or protection of yourself, your family, your loved ones, or your home. All can be done with the power of the mind. And in order to influence others, you are able to affect change in those same categories, either on a positive basis, working on your family, your loved ones, your friends.
This is the kind of thing that'll get you burned at the stake.
Yeah, but see, Art, what I am giving out is if you want to help a person in their career or help them get a promotion or see their business, you know, grow, then you can use magic properly and positively.
Right.
You can help cure a person, help heal the body.
I know, Evelyn, but if you can influence the President of the United States or whoever's leading the Soviet, Russia at the moment, or China, or a world leader, then you're so dangerous you can't live.
Well, there are people out there in the years past that have been trained in order to influence politicians as well as other people, and that's been done for the last 35, 40 years that I know of.
Yes.
Our government was involved in it. Other governments have been involved in it.
Yeah, people don't realize that, but of course it's true.
And that is remote influencing. What do you think they're trying to do?
Well, all the remote viewers that you talk to, you say, hey, do you guys think there's still a program going on? I mean, they all say, hey, Art, it worked. But they also all say, oh, no, it shut down. It was too embarrassing or whatever it was the excuse was. So there is no way they wouldn't use it if it worked. If it worked, it's even deeper black than it ever was before, and it's going on in spades.
That's right. Covert operations are still in existence in that area.
I believe it. How could it not be? If the first thing all these remote viewers say is true, and that is that it works, then sure as hell they're going to keep using it. And you know, they're going to use it the way governments use these things.
We have to hear, because over in Russia, as well as in China and in other parts of the countries, they are using it, Art. They're well aware of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of information indicating China has very much an ongoing program.
Yes, they do.
And I don't believe that we're not.
We are, thank God.
So is there some gigantic psychic war going on out there between operatives of various governments, do you think?
Yes, there is.
There is?
Yes, there is. And believe me, there are many out there who are trying to shut down the opposition.
I do believe it. I do believe it. We can't have a remote influencing gap.
That's right.
So let's just ask this straight out. Could the mind of George Bush be affected so that he would take a decision that he otherwise would not have taken?
With the proper individuals focusing their attention like a laser beam, absolutely.
Oh, individuals, plural.
Yes,
so
plural.
It would take many, or are the many more powerful than the one?
The many are definitely more powerful than the one, especially if they are trained practitioners with a discipline behind them.
Huh.
If they do not have the discipline, then one good one can do it.
Okay. And you're saying there's an ongoing war in this field that none of us know really anything about. Do you think these remote viewers know about such programs and just totally can't talk about it? Or do you think they have been convinced that their effort was the end at the CIA?
If they have only stayed in the remote viewing end of it, or the arena of remote viewing,
right,
I would think they would think it was over.
Yeah, they sound honest when they say that.
We're talking about remote influencing, and that's been being done for tens of thousands of years.
Just know what she's saying is correct, and have questions. For example, if a curse is given and is put on your name, Darlene wonders, if you change your name, do you confuse the dark forces? That is an interesting question. We'll ask in a moment. All right, I know that Evelyn makes available, and I want to give her a chance to plug it, the implements of the craft. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I do want that question answered. It's a really neat one. If you have a curse put on your name or your family's name, and you change your name, is that a way to escape the curse?
No.
No, huh?
And most of the time, number one, because it is your original name. And so changing the name is not going to change the curse. But a practitioner, normally when they are affecting a curse, will use imitative and sympathetic magic.
And those are?
Imitative magic is, as I had said before, making an effigy or a representation of the individual.
Right. Okay.
Sympathetic magic is having sympathy in sympathy with the body, like fingernail pairings, hair,
yeah,
or article
that.
Of clothing worn close to the body. When you have established those links, I don't care what your name is, you're going to be hit.
This business of having something of that person's, like their hair or their fingernail clippings, the only things that I can think of that are in both of those things would be the entire specific snowflake-like genetic makeup of that person.
Correct. Their essence.
Otherwise called their essence.
Correct.
And so using that, would it be fair to say using that specific genetic makeup, you are then casting it that specifically?
You are establishing the link to that person or to that family.
Yeah, or to that family. That would be genetics too, wouldn't it?
Correct, because sometimes they will put a curse that is generational.
That's absolutely right, and that would be genetics.
Correct.
So somewhere, somehow, this power, this air, earth, fire, water, is attaching genetically. That's incredible. Okay, Evelyn, you know, I want to give you a chance to do a plug here because I know you sell the implements, as it were, of the craft. My word. Candles, scented things, spell casting.
Rituals.
I mean, do these come
oil.
With directions? Do you open it up and you get a little direction to cast the following spell?
Oh, yes. All
really?
Rituals come with the instructions. And for those who want to really learn the craft, I have several classes on CDs and cassette tapes, like the Day of Magic, which is the basics of the craft, and then Introduction to Ritual, which is an advanced course, and, of course, Mirror Magic, which is exciting.
Mirror Magic?
Yes.
All right, wait. Before we get into that, and we're just about to, because I want to hear about it, how, from your website, or how do people do this, or do you have a phone number, or what's the deal?
Well, first of all, for those people who want to contact me, 818-985-9935, or 818-407-1951.
All right, a lot of people are going to be scrambling for pencils, so one of them was 818-985-9935, right?
Correct.
And the other one was what?
818-407-1951. And for those still using snail mail, I will send out a free catalog. They can write me at Paglini, P-A-G-L-I-N-I, at P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413.
Sherman Oaks, home of the network.
Correct.
I wonder if that town's big enough for both of you.
Has been.
All right. Mirror magic. What's that?
Well, mirror magic is when, number one, you can see into your past, get information about the present, as well as go into the future.
Well, that would be useful. I mean, we can all look in our past. It's called memories.
Yes, but I'm talking about your reincarnated past.
Oh.
past lives.
Oh.
And that is used in mirror magic. It's called scrying. Right. Then, of course, there are worker mirrors, and those can be used, one, to protect yourself, your home, your family, your loved ones. You can also use worker mirrors in order to open up a portal to allow spirits to come through. You can also use it for astral projection. You can use a full-length mirror in order to do healings upon yourself. So for those people who are interested, I would suggest mirror magic.
And it really works.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And again, all of this comes with careful instructions. I never read instructions. I'd probably blow myself up. I always start out, oh, well, we've got one of these candles, little scent here, and let's just do all this, and, well, nothing happening. Now I'll read.
Well, I would suggest most people get a foundation in meditation and visualization before they do a ritual.
Yes.
So that they can focus their attention minutely and, as a laser beam, affect the change.
All right, mirror magic. You said you can look into the future.
Correct.
Now, I would like to ask, if you're able to look into the future, Evelyn, are you able to change what you see?
Forewarned is forearmed, yes.
So there's nothing, it's malleable. In other words...
Yeah, it's not set in stone.
It doesn't have to be whatever way it is that it's going to... That's fascinating. And so therefore, couldn't people virtually avoid accidents, avoid death, avoid... illness, avoid, I mean, you could go on and on.
Yes, you can.
And all of this with mirror magic.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there are tools out there to help us. All we have to do is tune in, get the discipline, and the practice makes perfect. We were talking about mass consciousness.
Yes. Yes, yes. As you know, I've done some wild experiments in my past here on the radio with mass consciousness. You know of an experiment?
Art, there have been many experiments that have been done. But I want to talk about two that most people don't know about.
Fire away.
Now, there are people in England that will know about this. It is documented and can certainly back me up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know, has mass consciousness ever been used? Yes. One was all of those practitioners in all of the cultures and traditions in England, in Europe, and in the U.S. In 1940, on an August night called Lammas, We collectively, mass consciously targeted Hitler and affected change and stopped an invasion to England. The second time that it was done was in 1944. On March the 21st, the vernal equinox.
Yes.
And that was done the second time to end the Second World War. It was, again, all of the practitioners around the world, no matter the tradition or the culture.
Okay, the implication of that, clearly, Evelyn, is that you all are in touch with each other.
That's right. The call does go out, Art.
How does that happen? Can you talk about that?
We have societies that are across the world, and each and every one of them are in touch with each other, whether it is by physical means or by telepathic means.
Oh, that's wild.
And so, when we put out the call, it is answered. I am speaking on the 1944 especially, because in both instances, in 1940 as well as in 1944, my own family was involved. And so I speak from knowledge. So yes, mass consciousness has been done, but again, Art, you're talking about a specific night where all have come together as one, focus their attention on a specific target.
The night of the witch.
And affected and altered and
history.
Influenced
history.
The outcome.
Yeah. That's amazing. Is there, I mean, you're telling me about this. Is there any further, I don't know, documentation or proof or?
Yeah, like I said, in England, any person out there in the audience that is of England descent can back me up. This is documented.
Okay. All right. That's astounding, and I didn't know it. Listen, you promised to do something kind of interesting tonight, to give people in the audience the ability to contact their spirit guides.
That is correct.
As some kind of experiment. What do you have in mind before you do it, please?
Well, first of all, sir, I would like to give a warning. I want no one that is driving an automobile or a truck or operating any machinery to be going into an altered state of consciousness. I would like them to listen but to not partake.
Okay, I have a warning like that on some of my prescription medicine.
Well, I want
heavy machinery.
Yeah, because I want to do this for those people. They can record it, and then they can try it at a later date.
All right.
But for those who would like to participate, last night, Art, I opened up the altar. I placed a black candle on the left, a white candle on the right for balance. And I opened the portal. I called down a cone of power. And now what I want people to do is to close their eyes and to visualize a big, beautiful room. This room is going to be very well lit. It's very comfortable. And I want them to now walk into the room. They're going to see a nice, big, comfortable chair. I want them to walk to that chair and sit in it. Once they are comfortable in that chair, they're going to notice on the right side of the arm of the chair, there are two buttons. One is a red button, and the other will be a white button. I am asking them, please do not push any of these buttons yet.
Several people, because you said that so slowly, are already dead, having pushed the buttons. I might have been one of them. Go ahead.
Okay. First, they're going to notice there is a very special elevator in the corner of this big, beautiful room. This elevator is very unusual because it is cylindrical. The elevator door does not open from side to side, but from top to bottom. Now I would like these people who are participating to push the button that is red, to test it, and to watch the elevator door slowly descend down. They are going to watch it go all the way down, and once it reaches level, now they are going to push the white button to close it. And now we're going to begin. I want them to close their eyes. I want them now to walk into this great, big, beautiful room. Comfortable, well lit. Sit in the chair. And push the red button. As it slowly descends, they will be able to make out first the head and then the neck and then the shoulders, the waist, and the rest of the body. A spirit guide, either male or female, will be there. Once that spirit guide has been fully exposed, that spirit guide will step out of the elevator. You are to get up from the chair, walk over to your spirit guide, and introduce yourself by your first and last name. And then ask the spirit guide the name they wish to be called. This spirit guide is there to guide you, to assist you, and to help you solve problems. They will not do the work for you, but they will be your guide to assist you. After you have received your first spirit guide, as I had mentioned, maybe male or female first.
Yes.
Then you can push the white button, allow the elevator door to ascend and close again, and when ready, they will be again push the red button, allow it slowly to descend, and their second spirit guide will come out.
Holy mackerel.
So they will receive both a male and a female spirit guide by doing this. They will be able to use the spirit guide for as long as that guide decides to remain present. When their task has been finished, then they will leave. And another, if necessary, can be retrieved with this test.
All right. So you just told people how to meet their spirit guides.
That is correct.
So that I don't forget, let's give out the numbers once again, Evelyn. Those who didn't have a pencil or anything earlier, it saves me countless requests.
The phone number is 818-985-9935 or 818-407-1951.
Very good.
Art, on my website, under Magic 101, there are those who would like to learn tea leaf reading. The instructions are up there.
Really?
Yes. Also, for a little ha-ha, under Mystical Kitchen, there is a wonderful card sharp chowder that you can... Oh, let's say give to people who are giving you a fast shuffle. And if you want to run in poker or canasta or pinochle, I would suggest you serve it hot. So let them go to my website and have some fun, mysticalblend.com.
Served up hot. All right. All right. Oh, I want to go to the phones and allow people to ask you questions. The phone's been going totally, absolutely berserk now, the whole show. So let's give them a chance. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering what are some helpful tips I can do to during meditation to help more positive things happen in my life.
Okay. How to better meditate, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, Evelyn?
Well, I would like to know what he has been doing in meditation. In other words, are you dropping down to your levels and visualizing?
Okay, well, he's gone, so I don't know.
The most important thing is visualization to make it as clear and succinct and minute as possible, you will be able to bring into the physical plane of existence what you desire. Art, that's why we say what is above, so be it below. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that man has created that has not first been a thought form.
Is that why a lot of people in the clergy thought that the whole meditation thing has got tinges of evil associated with it?
I don't understand, Art. Say that again.
Well, I said a lot of clergy feel that the process of meditation itself is evil somehow.
I can't see why clergy would think that. Most of the time when you go to church, what you're doing is praying, and that is a form of meditation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when you're asking whether it is Jesus or the Virgin Mary or the saints to assist you, that's what you're doing. You're meditating and visualizing and asking the assistance.
I know, but it's not the same as air, earth, fire, and water.
But they're calling upon those elements because that's all part of God and nature and the elements.
Let them argue with that one. All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
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 Hi.
I can barely hear you, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I have a question about the mirror magic. I've done this many times. I wasn't sure what I was doing, but if I stare into the mirror and kind of unfocus my eyes for a long period of time, I see two very distinct faces that kind of superimpose over my face.
That's the beginning of looking at your past life.
That's what I kind of thought it was, because after a few times of this, I realized that the first person I see is a female, and she's absolutely beautiful, and I realized after a couple of times that it was my eyes. I was seeing my eyes. And the second person scares me because it's an older person. I can't tell if it's a male or a female, but they're very angry. They have a very angry look on their face. So
notice gender changes that will happen as you look into the mirror, especially when you are requesting within your mind to see past lives.
And I usually, when I see the older one, I just break away from it instantly because it scares me. But my question is there ever a point where when you're seeing this, are they ever able to, for instance, one time when I was seeing the face of the young woman, she was beautiful. At one point, she smiled at me, and that shocked me so much because I wasn't smiling into the mirror.
So
that was because the essence of that spirit was able to do so.
Maybe this will help some of the audience understand that there's a world going on out there that they don't know about. There are people doing these practices and doing these things, and people go, oh, come on, this is so much baloney. But, you know, when you get the callers who fully understand, like that lady, about this, you've got to know it's going on. Whether you support it or believe it or don't, it is going on. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. I'd like to ask your guest if she believes in, number one, if the power of the Illuminati is real and they are causing most of the things that are happening in this world, and our Earth, let's say, is fighting back against all the evil weather changes and everything else. Does she think they're using the technology to cause the problems we're having, and is it coming to a crescendo?
All right. The Illuminati.
The Illuminati is definitely in existence. Have been for centuries, certainly manipulating and controlling what is happening to this world and the people in it. And are they affecting changes? Yes, they are.
Okay, that's a double yes. Very good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Did you say west?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, okay. I hear that you hear me.
I hear that you hear me.
Okay.
Glad to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Yes, I have a question, Art, for Evelyn.
Uh-huh.
I had two of them that died in the near past, but I have another cat here. She's about two, and she's quite a character, but she's really friendly and very talkative. But one person that came to help me in the house here knocked on the door, and she hissed. And the woman came in,
yes.
And she started screaming and was attacking her. And now she's been here about 3-4 times, and I go through the same thing with her.
All right. Hold it right there. I would only say to you, ma'am, that if one of my cats did that to somebody who came in my house, I would invite them out.
I agree.
That's just me and cats. You know me and cats. If one of my cats hates somebody, I don't want that person around. Now, what can you tell us about cats, Evelyn?
Cats are highly intuitive, highly sensitive, and apparently this cat of hers is trying to protect her and warn her
right.
that the individual whose presence there is one of negativity and possibly wants to do this woman harm. So I would suggest she listen to the cat and not get too close to the person.
Boy, I'm with you all the way. I mean, I just absolutely, if my cat went berserk like that over somebody, I would invite them to take a long walk out my door. International Line, you're on the air with Evelyn Paglini. Hello?
Hello, Evelyn.
Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi, where are you?
Cleveland.
Okay. You're on the wrong line.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll take a very fast question.
Do you lift curses, and can you do it over the phone from Los Angeles?
I do not perform any ritual for anyone. I teach them how to help themselves. Once I have empowered you, no one can take that knowledge from you. I don't want you going out there to some charlatan who's going to charge you X amount of dollars, and you've got to keep your finger crossed that they're going to do it properly, if
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. So, in other words, instead of actually performing these rituals for people or doing spiritual warfare, instead of actually doing it, you teach people how to do it.
I give them the power.
Okay. Are there special circumstances, Evelyn, where you do
get involved?
Yeah.
Yes, when they are against another practitioner that has too much power for the novice or the chela, then I will step in.
Got it. First time caller line, you're on the air with Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
All right, sir.
My name is Emery. I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
And, since I was 8, I've been in touch with my spiritual guide. But recently, in the past year, I've had no feelings or nothing from this spiritual guide. And I just wondered, Evelyn was saying that you can lose your spiritual guide or they can move on. Is that correct?
That is correct. But you can always get another one, and I just gave the technique out for you to be
well,
able to get it.
All right. I'd kind of like to understand what the caller said, too. How is it that, I mean, you would think a spiritual guide would be attached to you for your life or something.
Not always. Sometimes a spirit
right.
guide was only there for a time being to assist you in a particular situation or problem. Sometimes they are there until you have gained maturity or have gone through a particular cycle or phase, and then another spirit guide will take its place.
I'll be darned. Are these jobs assigned to people?
Sometimes, yes. And other times there are family members or loved ones who insist upon being the spirit guide of an individual or family member.
Hmm. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this me, Art?
Sounds like you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering, I was going to ask Ms.
Paglini.
Why it wouldn't be possible to use mass consciousness to ask the Virgin Mary to show back up like Fatima or even ask God to show up. What harm would be in that?
Well, there is no harm, and yes, it can be done. But again, on a mass consciousness basis, you have to be specific. In other words, if you're going to use millions of people, you must direct a specific night, a specific time.
Yeah, but he was talking about making God come back, and I think there's a certain...
He said the Virgin Mary.
The Virgin Mary. Oh, I thought he said God, because if it was God, there's a certain number of things that are destined to occur when that happens, and you might not want to bring that one on.
True, but he was saying about the Virgin Mary reappearing, and you can, on a mass consciousness basis, call upon that essence or that energy to appear.
And if you did that, would it really be the Virgin Mary that was appearing to you, or would it be a byproduct of the mass consciousness, or is there no distinction?
There is a distinction, and it would be the essence of that spirit or energy called the Virgin Mary.
Wow. Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I have two questions.
All right. Make them good and loud, because you've got a very soft voice.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I was actually calling to see if Evelyn would know anything about just constant nightmares, like demons, possession. I've had that since I was little.
Well, that's a really good question. Constant nightmares of demons, Evelyn.
Well, I would like to know a little more information. If she's been having this since she was a child, are these demons attacking her? Are they trying to give her information? What kind of nightmares is she having?
It's just like me trying to get away from somebody who is, you know, like trying to run out of the room, or even actually I had a dream about my two sons. Sounds stupid, but they were, like, both of them were possessed at the same time.
But they were what, ma'am?
Possessed.
Possessed at the same time.
Possessed at the same time.
And this has been happening for so long?
Oh, yes.
I would have to say that you have a highly intuitive nature, a very sensitive nature, and what you may be receiving is warnings.
Right.
And these warnings, you're going to have to decipher through the dreams what it's trying to tell you. It may be giving you a warning of a person or a situation or a problem that is about to occur.
Right.
So it is the deciphering of it that will give you the knowledge of what you should be preparing yourself for.
Right.
If you want to stop it, though, do a cleansing of your environment. Let me suggest rose geranium oil, rosemary oil, or protection oil. If you will put that on the headboard of your bed by drawing a circle, using the oil on your index finger, draw about a 6 or an 8 inch circle, place a cross in the center of that circle using the essential oils I had mentioned, any one of them, and then out loud and firmly state, there is no evil or negativity that can cross this barrier. So be it, it is done. And then nothing that is evil or negative will be able to attack you while you are in repose.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. What about an old-fashioned Native American dream catcher?
Absolutely good, but I prefer on the headboard of the bed and on the inside and outside of the bedroom doors. They're lines of defense to block out evil and negativity.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning. Hello?
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 Yes, yeah, we said hello now.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm calling from Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Evelyn touched on it earlier. I've had so many experiences in my life that have been so negative for the last 10 years that life is barely worth the effort. Could it be something that came from a past life that I am now suffering through?
There is a possibility, but without talking to you and asking you specific questions, I cannot give you an honest answer. But yes, it can be from a past life.
Because
however,
I can't think
if it's
of an enemy I have in this life that would want to do.
What I would like to know is how long has this been occurring? Because if it's only been occurring, let's say, for 10 years or 15 years and not from childhood, then something or someone may have placed it on you.
It has been about 15 years.
Well, like I said, oh, I feel somebody has placed it on you. It was not there from childhood.
And so what should she do?
Psychic self-defense. She doesn't have to know who did it. All she has to know is it can be taken off of her, sent back to the sender, and a shield of protection impenetrable can be placed around her.
Emmeline, do witches on the dark side end up in mortal battle with each other on occasion? And I would presume that witches on the light side, if they did, wouldn't admit it. But on the dark side, do they end up in mortal combat?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yes, you have.
Yes, I have. I have gone against those people who have been of Jamaican, Santeria, Haitian, voodoo, you name it, we've battled.
Yeah, I can imagine, as public as your profile is, I would think that, you know, it'd be kind of like a contender fight. I mean, people would want to take you on with what they consider to be their strong magic.
And they have. And some of the most powerful in the nation have. Someday, Art, I'm going to tell you about what happened in 1968 through 1970.
But I hope that even if you're one of the non-believers, as you listen to these calls, and as you listen to these people who do understand that these things go on, the very least you should come away from in this program is to understand there's a world out there that you don't know about. There's a world you don't understand out there. It beats cursing the darkness. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Evelyn Paglini. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art. Good morning, Miss Evelyn.
Goodbye.
I was actually calling about, I live in West Kentucky, and the New Madrid Fault is, of course, near me, and you had made some predictions earlier in the show. I didn't know if you would possibly meant the New Madrid Fault, and also maybe if you could tell me something about maybe some tornadic activity for this summer.
As I had mentioned, there is going to be earthquakes not only in California, but in the Midwest.
Yeah, well, everybody thinks of the New Madrid Fault when you say the Midwest. Do you know if it's specifically that, Evelyn?
I don't know for sure, Art, but I did notice that I'm looking at, like, Missouri, and I'm looking at parts of Illinois.
New Madrid, Missouri, yes.
And I don't like what I'm seeing. And as far as tornadoes is concerned, I told you, I am not only looking at the intensity of tornadoes, but I've got a Category 4 and a Category 5, F4s and F5s.
Oh, hurricanes. I mean tornadoes. Okay. All right. Well, I'd take that as a definite possible, sir.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Yes, hi, Art. I'm listening to you guys from 550 KFY. My name is Robert. And I've got a question for you, Miss Evelyn. Can the craft be hereditary?
Absolutely. Most of the time it is.
Because the reason why I ask is that I know from listening to my family members that my grandmother on my father's side was really heavy into the craft. And I've had two separate psychic counselors and a actual practicing witch come up to me, and, you know, one was in Las Vegas, one was here in Phoenix, and told me and actually looked at me and says, you are a very powerful witch, and I didn't know how to deal with it and how to respond to that, you know. And it just kind of confused me, and I'm not sure how I should follow this.
Well, because it is hereditary for you, I would start to learn how to become a solitary practitioner. I would get into nature and the elements and learn magic. Not only will you be able to help yourself, but your family, your friends, and your loved ones.
Because I noticed there was somebody had placed a spell on my father that no male member in my family would ever be happy in love or in marriage. My dad was married 4 times. And now is on his 5th wife. Myself, I went through various relationships.
Well, maybe he's been happy 5 times.
well, what's funny is the last psychic counselor I went to gave me a spell, saying that I was powerful enough to break this spell. And my dad has been married now 4 years to the same woman. I've been with my wife for going on 3 years.
Way to go!
And
so you're saying you broke the spell against your family?
Yes,
okay.
Is it possible that that spell could ever come back again?
Once it is broken, it has ended.
There you go. It's all over. So once you break a spell, it's gone unless replaced or what? Or could it not be replaced?
It could be replaced if that particular practitioner is still living and still wants that same outcome.
Yeah, got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have two quick topics for you, one about sports and one about angels, and it's wonderful to speak to with both of you, by the way. Evelyn, do you believe that there is a curse on the Chicago Cubs, and if so, what is it going to take to lift it?
I don't believe that there is a curse on the Chicago Cubs, but I do believe that the winning streak can be affected, again, by mass consciousness, those individuals seeing them winning and not giving up.
Well, look at the Sox. That was a miracle.
Yes.
But so you said that there was a curse on the Red Sox.
The White Sox.
No, Boston a couple years ago.
Yeah. Well, everybody believed that. Was there? Yeah. There really was, Evelyn?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
But not on the Cubs.
No.
Maybe just bad management. Interestingly enough.
Okay.
And your second question?
About angels. And is a guardian angel the same as a spirit guide? And if not, what's the difference?
Okay.
Okay, normally spirit guides, okay, are given at birth. And they can be, and usually are, a member of the family that has decided to stay behind and become that spirit guide. An archangel, okay, is usually assigned for a particular reason and is not always assigned to every living person.
All right. On that note, we've got to take a fast break before I forget it, and we'll be right back to finish up. Once again, Dr. Evelyn Paglini, is there anything, a doctor, that we have not covered in the show that you absolutely wanted to get in?
No, I think we've covered pretty good.
Cool. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini.
Hello?
Hello.
I have two questions.
Well, fire away.
Is it possible that you could change your spirit guide if you don't believe that one's right for you?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you can fire your spirit guide, sort of.
If you do not feel comfortable and your interaction is not appropriate, absolutely.
Oh, be darned. All right. Your next question?
And I was wondering if, is it possible that you could be a new soul, like you tried the mirror trick and you don't see anything, or the mirror thing?
No, there are no new souls.
There are no new souls. There are no new souls.
No, if you are doing mirror magic and you are in front of the mirror, you will see past reincarnations, and they will change gender, size, age, and look or appearance.
Well, what about that age-old question? If reincarnation is reality, Evelyn, then there's more and more people in the world all the time. Where, if there are no new souls, then, you know.
Because not all of the souls are born at once. There will be those spirits that will refrain from reincarnating some 50 years, 100 years, 500 years. Right now, because we are in what I call the countdown years, there are so many souls out there, spirits that have reincarnated from times past, like Atlantis, Lemuria, and Mu, because they are once again here to experience the changes that are going to take place. That's why we have so many on Earth at this time.
Changes there are coming. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Gall. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Good to have you.
Yes, actually, my question is, you guys were talking about natural disasters and volcanoes and whatnot in the U.S. And I was just wondering if she might have seen anything for Canada by any chance. If there's anything. By the way, I'm calling from Calgary. I forgot. I'm
Calgary,
sorry.
Canada. All right. Evelyn, our neighbor to the north.
I did not see anything as far as volcanoes there, but what I did see is a tremendous winter, an awful lot of snow and ice, and believe it or not, I've got some avalanche or sliding that's going to be happening out there.
Okay. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
Yes, Dr. Paglini, I always look forward to your visits with Art.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The person you were battling from 68 to 70 in Sacramento, California, would that by chance be the late Anton LaVey?
That is correct.
That's what I thought. Also, do you see a spirit guide in my life, and if so, what their name would be?
Sir, all spirit guides are present with people, and as I had mentioned, if you do not know the name of your spirit guide, that is why I gave out the technique so that you can personally introduce yourself to them, and they will give you the name they wish to be called by.
Very good. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Onward and upward. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
That's me?
That's you.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Where are you?
I'm from Oregon. My name is Val.
Okay.
I was calling Evelyn because when I was 11 years old, my grandmother, my mother and my grandmother came to me and said that they had taken her. She was little Hispanic lady, and they had taken her to a white witch because she had my my great aunt had been having experiences in the house, and I guess people had been seeing apparitions, and I'd been staying with them, my mother and I had been staying with them for the summer, and they came to me saying that she told my grandmother that they needed to cleanse the house because somebody had put a spell on the house, put a curse on them. So they came to me, and I was 11 years old, and asked me to do it because neither one of them could read very well.
Here we go again. And you did, huh?
And I did it. I was supposed to do it for 7 days. I was supposed to go to, I did it. I went to all of the openings in the house, all the doors, all the windows. I did rose oil. I did candles. At 7 o'clock every evening, I was supposed to do a reading in the room that my great aunt slept in. And by myself.
Well, you obviously know that all of this works. There's a large audience. They're obviously not calling in because all of you who know this works are calling in. But would you affirm that for the rest of the audience out there who thinks all this is hogwash? There's really something to it. It's real, isn't it?
Well, all I know is that before that, I used to have like a heavy feeling when I went to the back of the house. It was really dark. And I used to go back there really quick and get out really quick, but I was just this normal kid. But after
But what I'm getting at is it worked for you.
It worked, and I experienced things that I've never experienced before, and ever since then I've been continuing to experience things, and I've had premonitions, I've had past life stuff come to me. I've had angels come to me and show me.
Okay, so then Evelyn, she should, as that gentleman, enlarge on what she has already developed, right?
Absolutely. And when anybody is doing a cleansing of their home, they must understand that they are going to feel the pressure from the spirit not wanting to release itself. So as they make their way from room to room, they must, in the end, make sure that they leave either a window cracked open or a door ajar in the last part of the house that they are cleansing in order for that spirit to have an escape. But they will feel the pressure as they move from room to room as they are doing the cleansing, and I'm sure she did.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Evelyn, I was so glad that you mentioned about the psychics during the World War II. I'm a reader of Dion Fortune, and she was one of the psychics that got with many of them to battle the opposition.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
There are
people out there. It is documented.
Oh, definitely. Actually, my father dated, he was in the war, a girl in England, and her father worked for the underground in the psychic realm. Question I wanted to ask, there are so many, supernatural, unnatural things happening that people don't understand, even our medical doctors. Do you think that we need more psychic doctors, you know, noted and really ready for strange things that happen to people?
I think now the scientific community is getting involved. That is why all of these experiments are being done.
That's true.
And they are now understanding not only the power of the mind, but, as I had mentioned, remote viewing, remote influencing. This is all now being tested, as well as the consciousness of the people. They are now being able to measure it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's all true. I mean, that's going on at Princeton. Thank you very much for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
Hello, is it I?
It is you.
Yes. Just to save time, I'm 87 years old, and since I was 9, my father died, and I've had death, including 4 of my children, my husband, my brother, my uncle, everybody. Why?
Evelyn?
I would have to talk to her personally, get into her energy. It sounds as if a cycle has been placed upon them. It seems to be generational. It sounds like it's probably more than 75 years old, and so therefore...
I think she said, no, she said 85, and you know, or 87, and by the time you get to be that age, you're going to see a lot of people come and go.
Yeah, but if she's been having a rash of it, and she's been saying of children and parents unnaturally dying unexpectedly...
Fair enough.
Then that's a curse.
All right.
And it's a generational one.
And there's so much more of this going on, even in this modern, enlightened America than we can possibly understand as casual radio listeners, correct?
Correct.
West of the Rockies, I hope we have enough time. You're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Hi, I'm so glad I got through.
Yes.
Okay, for Dr. Paglini, my name is Judy. I've kind of had a bad run. And just, like, unnatural, like, you know, job, this, that, the other. Do you feel that there was, like, something on me or if it was a family?
Well, first of all, how long has it been happening?
Since 96.
All right, that's too long. Normally, if you're in a negative cycle will last a number of years and usually no more than 7.
We argue a lot about natural cycle versus man-made on this program, Evelyn.
Yes, and that's why I'm saying a natural cycle will end, and it normally doesn't last longer than 7 years. If it has lasted longer than 7 years, then I believe that someone has placed it upon her or the family.
Can you distinguish the difference so I can, like, counter?
Can I distinguish what, ma'am?
Do you pick up the vibe on, like, what the difference is so that I could try to, like, do a psychic self-defense, or if that's not enough for a family?
To me, if I were you, if you were in a negative cycle, then it would be cleansing and protection because you're not going after an individual who has perpetrated it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's been so long, I would do psychic self-defense. You don't have to know who the person is. That person could be living or dead, and they will receive the karma that they have caused to others.
So you're saying, really, it doesn't matter. You can begin protecting yourself
immediately.
All right. People are going to want your website again. What is it, please?
It is at mysticalblend.com.
Mysticalblend, BLEND.com.
Or they can call me at 818-985-9935 or 818-407-1951. But I can't forget those with the snail mail if they want a free catalog.
Real quickly.
Paglini, P.O. Box 57932, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413.
As always, Evelyn, thank you and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Good night. There you have it, Evelyn Paglini.